Lord, as we reflect upon your holy scripture in the Gospel of Luke this morning, may our hearts be warmed. May our hearts follow after your will. Lead us through your Holy Spirit, God, as we become the disciples you have called us all to be. And I pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. God is so good, is he not? Amen. Amen. God is good. So just some personal things going on. I just, you know, like to share we don't always spend a lot of time together. Some of you more than others, right? So this week I got to go to the doctor and was taking off a bunch of medication because my stress level is down from the time I moved here. So I say that because I am so proud to be your pastor. I mean that in all sincerity, and I'm loving getting to know each and every one of you. Then on Saturday, I posted it online this morning, I got to meet with a dear friend named Phil Dvorak. And Phil, thank you, Amanda. She's correcting me up here. Thank you. Pastor Phil started a movement called Recovery Church. And just a brief story of that. Downtown Lake Worth, which is kind of an artsy place in South Florida. So right there on A1A by the beach, right? It's a beautiful place. But addiction and recovery is a part of their community, part of their identity. And maybe you know a place like that here in Indiana. So Phil is a recovering addict himself, but he's also a pastor, has gone to seminary, and is also a family therapist. Right, and has worked deep with the recovery community. And so I was in my first call at Living Word Lutheran Church, where I was ordained with my first senior pastor call. And our church was struggling, like severely. We had 6 months of finances to be able to run the church. So when I say you guys are blessed, you're blessed, right? This was a tough call. And so through the Holy Spirit, I met Phil at that coffee shop, right? And we started talking. And next thing we know, Recovery Church was meeting at our church, no longer the coffee shop. And it prolonged what our life as a congregation to be able to figure out, God, where are you leading us? Well, that was 4 to 5 years ago now. And Phil's Recovery Church movement, as it's called now, is now 40 campuses nationwide in 4 years. Now, I want you to really envision that. What church body do you know that has planted 40 churches in 4 years with little to no financial support? They have. Right? And Recovery Church is doing an incredible job. Basically, he was up here in Richmond, and me and Ricky Lee drove over there and had a wonderful conversation for over an hour. Hey, buddy. And so we started talking about Recovery Church and how that can be a major impact in this community that we live in today, right here in Greenfield. And what we talked about was the pipeline. So it's a little different from any other recovery programs. It's not like Celebrate Recovery or the 12-step programs you might be familiar with. But they talk about the pipeline. And so what that means is they have church on at a nighttime, right? Because all these guys and gals work. A lot of them are younger, you know, 40 and younger, right? And then these folks get involved in a local church on a Sunday morning. Right? It really changes the dynamics of whatever church they're gathering at. But the lives of these men and women who have been in recovery or needed to join recovery, their lives are changed forever. People come to know Jesus, right? And so I bring that up. What does that have to do with today's sermon? Well, we're talking about finding Jesus this morning, right? Finding our Lord, our Savior, our God, right? That only a few will go through the narrow door. There are lost sheep without a shepherd. Amen? 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 There are lost sheep without a shepherd. So I asked you last Sunday, I gave you some homework. And I said, if you bring this back next Sunday, you get an A+. Does anybody remember what that homework was? Yes, in the back. Essentially, yes, your dreams, your visions for St. James. All right, anyone else today that didn't share last week have a dream? A dream. I want you to think big, like Walt Disney did, right? All right? Think. All right, now, we are having our church business meetings, right? And this is one of the things that finance has said to all the committees. We want you to dream. We want you to think. Think about Christmas morning as a child, right? Didn't you just have this dream of all these presents underneath the Christmas tree? I want you to think about that childlike mind, right? Of your dreams for this parish. How is God going to use us to reach the lost, right? To reach the sheep without a shepherd. Now, I'm just going to kind of walk through here. We're going to start a few verses before and end a few verses after. But basically, we're looking at Luke chapter 13 this morning. We're going to look at 18 to 35. And the parable leading up to today's scripture, we talked a little bit last week about. The mustard seed. The faith the size of a mustard seed. Right? Every church in America, the average worship attendance is around 50 to 70 now, right? In a North American church. So when we think of the mustard seed and we think of the parable, we have a little bitty seed that grows to this huge amount of resources, right? A huge mustard seed bush that produces good and fertile seed. Now I want you to think about St. James. Right? If we're the size of a mustard seed, how easy we can become this fertile place where good seed is produced and is being produced, right? So how do we do that is the question. Well, obviously, we do some of that through worship, right? We're here together worshiping the Lord our God. We do that through Bible study. We need to be in His Word, right? If we're going to proclaim His Word, we have to know His Word. We have to know it intimately, right? We have to be able to, if somebody asks us about faith in God, we need to be able to respond, not with our own words, but with God's words this morning. The growth of the kingdom of God has no limits. No limits. So I want you to think, when I drove around and you drive around Greenfield and you see all of these apartment buildings going up, I have no idea who's going to live in all these places, but there's a lot of them coming up in this community, is there not? There's housing developments, and we cannot be naive enough to think, and I'm sure we're not, that 100% of those folks know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? They need Jesus. They need someone to proclaim His word to them. And maybe, just maybe, that's one of us, right? This morning. One of us is being called to proclaim the word of God, the good news, to those new communities and new developments. And I know it's scary. It's scary to go and proclaim the word of God. Not everyone says, I have the calling of evangelism. I've heard that. But can I tell you the truth this morning? We're all called to share His news. All of us. Doesn't matter if you feel comfortable or not. Christianity is not about being comfortable, right? It's about getting out of our comfort zones. It's about doing what is the unexpected, because the Holy Spirit guides us. So even if we're a nervous wreck, if we're shaking and full of anxiety, guess what? We still got to proclaim His word. Now I'll just give a word of testimony to that. I have a friend that had a stuttering problem, and he was a preacher. A stuttering problem, and you're a preacher. And he's got to get up every Sunday morning and proclaim God's word. You know, every Sunday when he gets up to preach, he doesn't stutter. It's true. I just want you to think the power of the Holy Spirit, what God can do. All right. As we continue to move on, we hear Jesus going city to city, proclaiming and teaching, heading toward Jerusalem. And the people ask, right, this important question, who will be saved? We all know the answer to this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Do we understand this? Has this penetrated our hearts this morning? That Jesus is the only way. We have the truth this morning. The truth of the gospel. The world is telling us there are many paths and all lead to the same God. Well, I have to tell you, that is not true. Jesus is the only way. It's why I'm here. It's why I'm a pastor and a Christian pastor, right? There's lots of religions to choose from. But just like that golden calf, right? There are false religions. Jesus is the only way. But as we continue to hear these verses here, some will knock trying to get in and they will hear these words, I do not know you. I do not know you. They were religious people, but they had no relationship with Jesus. They had no relationship with God, right? That he loves us. He's our Father and Creator and Sustainer. That he did bleed on the cross for our sins. He did rise from the dead. But all for us. Not so we can save ourselves. It's impossible, right? Jesus is the only way. Now, I want you to really think about that. When we get to heaven one day, there are going to be people there that you know, and you're going to be shocked that they're there, right? I think I will be. And there's going to be people that are not there that we're like, where are they at? Because they did not knock. They did not seek the Lord. They were religious but did not have a relationship with Jesus. And I have to be very careful here, because in our theology, we believe that, right, it's all God's work. It has nothing to do with what we do. And that is true. It is all of God's work. It's all of what he has done for us. But at some point, I believe we have to acknowledge what Jesus has done. And when we have a relationship with someone, we grow closer to them. Just like you do your spouses, right? Just like you do your kids. Just like you do anybody you're a friend with. You grow closer to them. So you got to ask yourself, am I growing closer to Jesus? Is my daily walk more like him? And of course, we're going to mess up from time to time. We're going to do things that make no sense. We're going to sin, and we're going to feel sorry that we did it. But we're going to try again, right? Because we're disciples of Jesus. We love him with our whole hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Verse 28, right? There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want you to really think about this. The world tells us that there is really no hell. This is just a made-up concept of the world, of Christianity, to scare people. I've heard this. It breaks my heart, because there is a heaven that's very real, and there is a hell that's very real, right? And some people will end up in one or the other, right? There is a devil, right? There is the demonic work in this world. And as Christians, as believers of Jesus, I don't want anyone to suffer an eternity in fire. Right? Now, forgetting his name. Early American Christianity, right? Dante's Inferno, you guys have heard of this, right? Jonathan Edwards, now I got my names right. Jonathan Edwards, he was a boring preacher, right? He would get up, he would write out all his sermons and stuff, and he would go right here with one tone voice and read it. And they said his sermons were so scary regarding hell that people would literally pass out in their seats, right? They would pass out because they were petrified. They didn't want to end up in the fiery place with Satan and his angels. Now, I don't want you guys to pass out in your seats this morning, but I want you to understand the sincerity that there is a hell and that we need Jesus, because the punishment of sin is death. But in verse 29 to 30, we have the good news here. People from all over the world will be saved. And what a great and joyous occasion that will be. Brothers and sisters of every color, ethnic group, right? All of that will be in heaven praising God together. All right, then the next few verses here, 31 to 35. Jesus is warned to leave. He's warned. Now, I want you to think in your own Christian walk, as you proclaim Jesus to the world, at some point you may be warned that if you continue, you will face persecution. And this is what Jesus tells us about that, right? I mean, they're conspiring to kill him. And see, Jesus even had an attitude once in a while, because he says this. Jesus calls Herod a fox. A fox. Now, who has grandkids or children or nieces or nephews, right? Have you guys watched the movie Zootopia? Anybody? See, it's a great little movie, and there's a fox in the movie, and he's always scheming his next scheme to make money, right? Or get out of trouble, or to do better. Now, I want you to think, that's what the fox is in this illustration. He's cunning, he's destructive. But Jesus says here, he would continue his work even to death. And isn't that the truth? Amen? Jesus continued his work, right? He fulfilled the prophecies by rising from the dead. No one could destroy God's plan for salvation. What an incredible testimony and truth, right? That Jesus, even at his death, would save us all while we were yet sinners. All of us. And we are a bunch of messed up sinners this morning. All of us. We make mistakes that we probably would not want to say out loud in front of the whole church, right? We don't want to do a public confession of sins by naming every private sin in our lives. Some may even be embarrassing to us. But you know what? God knows them. God knows your deepest sins. He knows your deepest love for him even more. Sorrow fills the heart of Jesus. He is rejected. He foresees destruction of Jerusalem, and they will not see him again until he comes into the city on Palm Sunday. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only beloved Son, that whoever believe in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. We continue on in the next verses, but those who do not believe in him are already condemned. Are already condemned. We don't have to condemn them. Right? I don't have to from the pulpit say, you know what, all you guys are going to hell if that was the truth. Because you condemn yourself by not believing in Jesus. That's all of us this morning. Right? Because Jesus loves us for who we are. We just have to acknowledge what Christ has done. And we have a free pass to eternity, to life with Jesus forever. And those who believe and accept Jesus will be saved. And those who reject him will be lost. We really have, right, two choices here. Eternity, all of us, all people, we can either accept Jesus or we cannot. So this is what we need to do, folks. When you go back to that first idea that we are all called to ministry at our baptisms. All right, who remembers their baptism here? All right, now some of you are saying, man, I was a baby. I don't remember that. Well, guess what? At some point this year, we will, maybe you guys will look at me maybe strange here. But we're going to take this beautiful baptismal font. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous, I have to say. Can it move? Can we move it or it's stationary? It can move? All right. We're going to put it out here in the front. And if we can't move it, we'll get something else to use. And we're going to have you guys come up and we're going to say, remember your baptism and be thankful. We don't rebaptize, right? Because God has done it and we don't need to redo it. But we can remember our baptism. And in that moment, your parents, whoever brought you forth as a baby, said that they would raise you in the faith. The church said they would raise you in the faith. And you accepted your call of the Holy Spirit to ministry. So, ask the Holy Spirit. Our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? What gifts has he given you for his church? One of them is, in fact, proclaiming the good news to set the captives free. Amen. So hear this commission. Be commissioned in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to go out to share the good news of the gospel. Amen.